32, verse number 46, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing shall ye prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these guys. Thank you, Lord, for the class that we've had already. Lord, what we're doing is important. What we're doing is not in vain, Lord. It matters. It makes a difference, Lord, and I thank you for that. And it's not because of me or because of us, Lord, but it's all because of you. And Lord, thank you that what we do for you, it's not a waste of time. And God, I just pray you bless our time in your word as we have the preaching right now. God, speak to each heart. You know the needs. You know the need of every single guy in this room, what they're facing, what they're struggling with, what they're maybe dealing with that nobody else knows about. But God, you know about it, and you can help us with each issue that we're facing right now. I pray you would please give me your help. I need it, Lord. I pray you just focus me and give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. I pray that you would be lifted up, that you would be honored, Lord, that you would be pleased with the message, Lord, and that, God, that you would change us to be more like you. Help us to hear your voice through the preaching, Lord, loudly and clearly, and help us to be different as a result. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you guys for standing. This is at the end of Moses' life. As most of you know, the book of Deuteronomy is basically the repeating, the reiterating of the law to them. They're about to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan, in the next book, the book of Joshua, but they're right on the brink of it. They're right on the edge. They have wandered for 40 years, that whole story. Moses is coming to the end of his life. So guys, what he's trying to do is instill in them vital information, truth that they'll need, because he's not going to be on the scene anymore. He's going to be dead. As Kevin and I were talking, nobody knows where Moses is buried except God, because God buried him once he died. But nobody would hear or see Moses anymore. But guys, he's trying to leave with them stuff that will last far beyond the time of his life, that they would still know this truth, that they would still hold on to this information, and that they would still live by the truth that God had given to him. And what he does here is pretty interesting. He gives them a song. Guys, I find this very interesting. God instructed him to give them a song. He told them to write a song, that it would be a witness against the children of Israel. And then in chapter 32, guys, you have a heading at the beginning of your chapter, it says, it's the song of Moses. So this was actually a song. I don't know how catchy it was when you read it. It's a lot of blood and guts and gore and all this kind of rebellion. Like, I don't know who's singing this, but I guess this was something that was passed down. Can I ask you guys, if you don't know, it's okay, but why do you think he did it in the form of a song? If you don't know, it's totally fine, but...
Yes, songs are easier to remember.
Yes, they're memorable, right? You get something caught in your head, man, and like 10 years later, it's still there. You know, and other forms of communication are usually not like that. They just get stuck in your head. So I think that's why he does it. He wants it to be memorable. He wants for years, for decades, for generations, for them to remember this song, for this truth to be passed on. By the way, not the sermon today, guys. Kind of music you listen to is very important. You're stuffing messages in your mind. That's why just about every week we preach from up here, we're saying, hey, if you're listening to wicked music, rap music, this kind of music, whether it's English, Spanish, or whatever, if it's stuff that's against God, if it's stuff that's promoting immorality, sex, and drugs, and rebellion, and all these kind of things, don't listen to it, because, guys, that gets stuck in your brain. Yeah. But on the good side, he's trying to stick some things in their brain that will be profitable and beneficial to them. So it's to be memorable. Guys, the song finishes, and then in verse 46, 47, and following, Moses gives, I guess, some concluding statements. I love this, though. And I just want to skip to the point to get to the message today. Verse number 47. This statement just pops off the page at me, and it really hits home. Because, guys, we do a lot of work. We put in a lot of effort. But get in verse number 47, and it says, "For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life." Whew. That's powerful, guys. That's a powerful statement. You know what he's saying? Vain. He's saying it's not a vain thing. Vain means empty. Vain means a waste of time. Vain means worthless or hollow. There's nothing to it. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's not a vain thing. Hey guys, I'll get into this, and I'm sure this will be reiterated. Will you come to church today? That's not a vain thing. You helping out on the routes, or you helping out in this class, or you trying to encourage people, that's not a vain thing. You guys showing up on Thursday, giving out tracts, knocking on doors, as we're saying, it can be awkward, it can be scary, it can be nerve-wracking at times, but it's not a vain thing. Hey guys, you waking up early today to be in the house of God, that's not a vain thing. You reading your Bible on a daily basis, you may think, what is that doing? I'll tell you one thing, it's not a vain thing that you're doing. You choosing to listen to the right kind of music, that's not a vain thing. And then we can go on and on and on, and we probably will. But it's not a vain thing. Why? Because this is for your life. Guys, this is for your life. Listen, your reaction to the things that is being preached from the Word of God today, guys, it's your life, your direction in life, where you end up, the kind of family you have, the kind of career you're going to have, the kind of ministry you're going to have. Guys, it's all determined by your reaction to the Word of God. Can I remind you, it's not a vain thing that we're doing here today. Yeah. And what I want to preach on is this. It's not a vain thing. It's for your life. It's not a vain thing. It's for your life. Let's get into the first point. Why? Why is that the case? Guys, I try to preach my guts out here every week that I can. Can I tell you, that's not a vain thing that we're doing. Us coming to the house of God on a Sunday morning when most of the world is sleeping in or doing what they want to do, just chilling and relaxing. Hey guys, what we're doing is not a vain thing. You being a young man that's pure and holy, things that we just talked about from our other study. Listen, that's not a vain thing, what we're doing. You trying to keep a clean mind and not letting cuss words come out of your mouth, that's not a vain thing that you're doing. Listen, it may be hard. It may be difficult. You may get ridiculed. You may get mocked. People may talk against you from time to time, and you may feel embarrassed. But let me tell you something, sir. You are not doing a vain thing by trying to live for God. Listen, your family may be against you. Some friends that you have may make fun of you from time to time, and you may think, man, what am I doing? Can I tell you, you're not wasting your time. It's not worthless. It's not something that's empty. It's not a vain thing. Why? It's for your life. Amen. Guys, your life will show over time that it was worth it to put Jesus first. But why is that the case? First of all, I want to show you because of the everlasting individual. Guys, can I tell you that what we're doing is not vain? Why? Because we serve the true God, the living God that will always be God. Listen, guys, he's not God for this term. Like we have a president for 4 years or at the most 8 years. Someone we wish we could cut it off halfway. I'm not going to say who. But anyway, listen, we wish we could stop it, pause it right in the middle, be like, bad idea. Can we switch you out for somebody else? Can I tell you, God is not just in for this term. God is always God, and he's always going to be God. It doesn't matter who votes for him or who votes against him. He always has been God. He always will be God. And he is God right now. I don't care what the rebellion is. I don't care what the wicked music does out in the world. I don't care what anybody says or does. He is still God, and he always will be.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen, the everlasting individual. I love, if you go through this song, yes, he goes through a lot of what's going to happen with the children of Israel, but you know who he focuses on? God. And that's what our lives need to be focused on all the time. Guys, why, when we come to Teen Boys class, is it not a vain thing? Because we serve a God who's always going to be God. He's not going to die. He's not going to get sick. He's not going to leave the throne. He's not going to go on vacation. He's not going to not feel like doing it anymore and resign and let somebody else take over. He's always God, and he's God right now. And that's the God that we're serving. That's the God that we're talking about, the everlasting individual. Go back, if you would, to verse number 4. Love this verse, man, describing our God. Verse number 4, same chapter. Referring to God, it says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's some verse. There's a lot of things to that. First of all, it says, he is the rock. It's talking about he is portrayed as a rock. He's described. Why does it say that he is the rock? Well, can I say, first of all, he is unmovable. Guys, what that means is he doesn't change. He doesn't alter. He doesn't shift. He doesn't say, man, the world is going this way. Then I've got to change. I've got to change who I am and my character. No, what it means is he's permanent. He's fixed. He's stable. He's steady. He's strong. Hey, guys, there's plenty of times in life where I don't feel very strong. I feel very weak. But you know what? You need to go to the rock that has strength, that has permanence, that has stability. And you may not be strong, but he is, and he always will be. Hold on to him. Listen, you don't know what to do in your life? Go to the rock. And I love how it says the rock. He's not just one of many options, guys. He's the only stronghold in this life. He's the only thing. Listen, you can get a bunch of money and try to hold on to that as your stronghold, but your money will fritter away. You can try to get a bunch of possessions and amass all these things in your life and have those as your stronghold, but those things will never do because they'll rust out or they'll get stolen or they'll get taken or they'll get damaged. But can I tell you, God never gets taken, stolen, damaged. He never rusts out. He never has a problem. He never has some issue that pops up. God's never in the hospital. He's always strong. He's always vibrant, and he's unmovable all the time, guys. Do you hold to the rock in your life?
Amen.
Or is it your friend group or what people think of you or the things that you have? Can I tell you, those things are meaningless. Those things will pass to the side. Dude, how's your relationship with the rock today? He's unmovable, guys. Listen, when you're weak, he is strong. It says that he is the rock. He's unmovable. Secondly, it says his work is perfect. I call this, he is unmistakable. What that's talking about, guys, his work is perfect. Now, when God does something, I'm talking about his actions. So God does this for the children of Israel. Or God does this for us. Or God answers a prayer. Or God leads someone to salvation. Or life changes. Can I tell you, when God acts, when he does something, God doesn't get halfway into it and then say, oops, I shouldn't have done that. Listen, he's unmistakable. When he chooses to do something, it's always right. It's always correct. It's always calculated and clear. Listen, he knows what he's doing, guys. And when he does something, God doesn't jump halfway in and say, oops, you know, I shouldn't have done that. We do that sometimes. You ever walk in a room and you like start going this way and you're like, oh, and you think of something and you start going back that way. People watching this are probably like, what's wrong with that person? You know, he doesn't know where he's going. But you know what? God always knows where he's going. God always has a plan for what he's doing. Guys, when God acts, he knows exactly what he's doing. His work is perfect. Hey, when God does something, it's not okay. It's not shabby. It's not, well, it'll get us by. It's not just adequate. It's perfect. Hey, guys, we need God's working in our lives. We need his leading. We need his answered prayers. We need him to change us. And when he does those things, it's perfect. So he's unmovable. He's unmistakable. God never gets halfway in and say, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I was going to help Ethan, but man, I shouldn't have done that. I was going to do this for this church, but no, I shouldn't have done that. Oops, I misplanned or I misthought of what I should do here. That's not the way God works. He's unmovable. He is the rock and he's unmistakable. His work is perfect. Guys, why don't you ask God to work in your life? It'll do more good than anything else in this world.
Right.
Unmovable, unmistakable. Next one, it says all his ways are judgment. This is talking about he is just. He's uncorruptible. Guys, what that's referring to is God doesn't get bought off. God doesn't have a bias. God doesn't have partiality to people and say, well, this is not okay for Anthony, but the same thing is okay for Ethan. You say, man, that's not fair. That's pretty messed up. That's not how God is. God is just. Listen, guys, if sin must be punished, it's punished. If he forgives sin because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he forgives it. He is just in all his ways. God is not corrupt. Listen, guys, if we had some kind of court case and you find out that the judge got paid off and because of that, he let the criminal go free, man, there would be an outcry. There would be an outrage saying, this is wrong. This is not okay. Can I tell you, God is not a corrupt judge. Everything he does, every decision he makes, it's correct. It's how it should be. And what that's called in the Bible is that God is just. He does exactly what should be done. All his ways are judgment. Hey, guys, there's no scandal that's going to pop up with God. There's no information that will arise later that we found out, oh, man, this wasn't right. This wasn't fair. No, God is just in all his ways. Let's continue on. He says, a God of truth, a God of truth. Guys, listen, every word that you read from this book, can I tell you it's truth? You know why? Because it comes from a God of truth. God cannot lie. You hear me? God cannot lie. And guys, let's believe when God tells us these things from his word, let's believe it. Can I time out real quick? Look up here. Can I time out real quick? I think a lot of times, guys, we know this stuff. Like, listen, the correct information from the Bible is in our brains somewhere, but we don't hold on to it. We don't actually believe it like we should. We kind of know it back somewhere in our brains, but we don't hold on to it tightly. Hey, guys, can I tell you, when we hear that God never lies, hold on to that. Amen. When we hear that he's always good, hold on to that. That is right. True. When you guys talking about he never leaves us nor forsakes us, That's true. When we hear the different messages from you guys, from the Word of God, it's true. Believe it. Hold on to it. When we preach about God wants you to stay pure till you get married, that's true. We're not just making it up. We're not just filling time. We're not just saying, hey, what can we waste our time with talking about today? This stuff is true. It's how it actually is, and it's how we should live. Mm-hmm. I really feel like if we don't watch it, we can know all the stuff, come to church 3 times a week, but not live according to it. Hey, guys, can I challenge you? Believe what's true. Actually believe it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. And the things that are contrary to it, reject those. Reject those. Hey, I get it. Every week of our lives, we are bombarded by contrary messages, right? The world is hitting us. We talk about being pure. The world is anything but pure. It's filthy. It's nasty. It's scum and swill out there, right? It's thrown at us all the time. Guys, you know what we need to do? We need to reject that, saying that's not true. That's not right. He's unerring. He's a God of truth. Anytime God opens his mouth, listen, anytime God opens his mouth, it's truth coming out.
Right.
Hey, do you believe that? Do you hold on to that? I believe if we don't watch it, then we can let the devil, just like Eve, we can let the devil sneak up on our shoulder and say, yea, hath God said it. Mm-hmm. And you know what we think? Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Watch it, young man. Hey, you want your life to start going down, start doubting what God says. I mean, hey, time out, guys. Where would we be without this book, right? Where would we be without this book?
Yeah.
I mean, we think, oh my goodness, I don't even want to think like that. I don't want to even entertain those thoughts. I mean, we wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't know salvation. We wouldn't know who Jesus Christ is. We wouldn't know basically anything. We would know there is a God because of the creation and that he's powerful and that he's very intelligent. That's about it. That's about it, guys. We need the Bible. Listen. And you say, Brother Tom, I get that. Yeah, I get that. The Bible's important. But guys, if the devil can get you to doubt it, what are you doing with it? You're poking holes in it. Mm-hmm. If the devil can get you to doubt it, guys, it's almost like it does us no good because we read it, but we think, I don't know. Hey, guys, if God told it to us, it is true, and we can bank our lives on it.
Yeah.
Don't let that go. I don't know if I explained that very well, but listen. Hold on to the truth, man. We live in that day and age. It's everywhere. Well, this person's atheist. This person's agnostic. This person has some YouTube video. This person has some documentary. Guys, you don't watch those things that are contrary to God.
Right.
That stuff will mess your mind up. I want to believe this book. I want to live according to it. And I don't want to care what the world says because they're wrong. He's unerring. He's a God of truth. And then he's without iniquity. That means he's untainted by sin. Guys, there's no iniquity. There's no sin in our God. It talks about he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. He never experienced sin in that way by practicing it. He was always perfect. He always did what was right. Bible talks about he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. He's perfect. And 1 John says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know what it's talking about? There's no evil in God. There's no shadiness in God. There's no hidden part of God where there's some something sneaky going on behind the scenes. God is light, perfection, truth. And there in him is no darkness at all. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's the God that we serve. By the way, do you appreciate having a God like that? Mm-hmm. Listen, a God that's unmovable, a God that's unmistakable, a God that's uncorruptible, a God that's unerring and untainted by sin. Thank God for these things. Thank God that he reveals himself to us. And guys, he's unchanging. At the end of the verse, it says, just and right is he. Everything he does is just. Everything he does is right. And it says, is he? Not just was he back in the past, still to this day and forever into the future. Guys, he is just and right in all that he does. Hey, guys, can I just bring up a side point from that? That's a God you can trust with your life. That's a God you can bank on. That's a God that you can trust and say, God, I'm going to try to be pure like you've told me and taught me from your word. I'm going to try to do that. Can I tell you, you can walk through life with a God like that. You can face the ups and downs, and even when those things are very difficult and the distress comes in your life, you can go through it with God with you. Guys, that's what we're preaching about all the time. That's why it's not a vain thing what we're doing. It's for your life. Look at verse number 39. He says, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. Guys, he's unparalleled. There's nobody like him. Hey, guys, just to be clear about it, Buddha,
Can't even compare to our God. He's not a God. He's a false God. Listen, Allah is nowhere close to our God. He's a false God. And I'll bring up something about that in a few minutes. But listen, all these other fake me out and all these other other religions that don't believe in Jesus Christ as the true Savior, as the only true God, it's all fake. It's all false. It won't really help people. He's unparalleled. In verse number 40, I like this. God is talking about himself, but he says, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Hey guys, again, that's a God you can trust. I'm glad, guys, that through your teen years, you can trust God every day of it. But you know what? When you get out of your teen years and you become an adult, you can still trust him then. And then when you get to being middle age, you can still trust him then. And even when you're an old person and you may have a cane and you may have them Velcro shoes, you know, you may have to do stuff like that. But you know what? You can still serve our God. Why? Because he lives forever. Guys, as I said, his reign has no end. His term doesn't finish a couple years from now. We say, man, who are we going to elect as God? He's God. He always has been God. And he always will be God. Amen. He's unending. Don't forget about that. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 2, says, before the mountains were brought forth, before or ever he had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Mm-hmm. Guys, from eternity past to eternity future, he is God. There is none else. Now, we talked about the rock portrayal. This is who our God is. Guys, he doesn't move. He doesn't change. Everything he does is perfect. He's just in all of his dealings. He's a God of truth. He's without iniquity. Just and right is he. That's our God. There's no one like him. And guys, he's going to live forever. And he doesn't change. Now, the rock portrayal. Can I tell you, though, your relationship with him is personal. Your relationship with him is personal. Verse 4 is doing what? It's describing how great God is in a number of different ways. Check out verse number 5. Your relationship is personal. This is talking about the children of Israel. They have corrupted themselves. So God is uncorruptible, but they have corrupted themselves. God's clean and holy, but they have messed themselves up. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse, a perverse and crooked generation. Verse number 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Guys, the rock portrayal. This is who God is, and he's not changing. He's strong. He's granite. He's never going to move, and he's never going to change off of who he is. But guys, your relationship with him is personal. Listen, every single one of us in this room, you have a relationship with God. It should be as his child, but even if you're not saved in here, you're his creation. And God doesn't forget about that. Listen, God has done everything for us. And can I tell you, he takes very personally our reaction to what he does for us. Yeah. Listen, we emphasize all the time, and I don't mean to be confusing with my wording. You should have a personal relationship with God. You know what that's called? Being saved.
Yeah.
And walking with him on a daily basis. But you know what, guys? You say, we emphasize that a lot about having a personal relationship. It's all about that. You need to be close to God. You need to be close to God. Can I tell you, even if you don't take it personally, somebody that does take it personally, God. Mm-hmm. You say, what do you mean? God is referring to all the blessings and all the things that he's done for his children, the children of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Verse number 6, he says, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish and people and unwise? You know what requite means? Repay. God's saying, I've done all this for you, and this is how you pay me back? That sounds like very personal. God's taking it very personally. Hey guys, God's been good to us. He saved us. He's given us a Bible with all the truth in there. He's given us a church to encourage us. He's given us families that love us. He's done so many things for us, given us good health. Hey guys, got a question for you. If God's done all that for you and then you're living away from God, God's saying, is that how you're going to repay me? That sounds very personal to me. The relationship is personal. God's saying, this is how you pay me back. This is what you do to me after all that I've done for you. Hey, guys, Bible says to whom much is given, much shall be required. If God's been good to you, he didn't just do that randomly out of nowhere. He didn't just do that by accident. He's been good to you. Why? So that you will serve him. Do ye thus requite the Lord? Hey, guys, I wonder if God's looking at your life. If he says, how's Ethan paying me back right now? Hey, time out. None of us do it perfectly. We are all shabby from what we should be, but we should all be trying. We should all be giving our best. Hey guys, I should give out more tracts. I should pray more. I should read more. Listen, all of us can do more, but let me ask you this. Are you doing something?
It's good.
All right, after all that God has done,
After all that he has helped your family, is this how you're going to pay him back? Hey, guys, I'm not beating anybody up, and I'm not trying to bash anybody. But you come to church falling asleep and hating every second of being here. Is that how you're going to repay God? Mm-hmm. I hope not. Is it going to be every day this week? I was talking to a young man last week about reading his Bible. I wonder if it's every day we're going to make excuses. Oh, Anthony, and I'm not banging on Anthony. I'm just know that he's not like this. But you know what, guys? Is it going to be we have time for video games and texting and TV and all of the stuff that we want to do, but we get to the end of the day, oh, man, I forgot my Bible again. Is that how we're going to live over and over and over and over and over? And guys, we're not saying you have to read your Bible every moment of every day, but do you spend any time trying to meet with God? Do you spend any time trying to pray? Do you spend any time trying to have him change you? Is that how you repay? Hey, guys. God's giving you the ability to talk. Are you going to use your mouth to cuss with it or talk dirty? God's giving you your brain. Are you going to use it to think dirty and nasty thoughts? I hope not. Is that how you're going to pay him back for all that he's done? And I could preach and preach and preach on that point, and I kind of want to, but I need to keep moving. All right? Listen, the relationship is personal. But you know what these people did? They forsook the Lord, and they went after false gods, strange gods. And guys, can I tell you, when people turn away from the Lord, something else becomes their God to them.
Yeah.
Might not be some little statue they bow down and pray to, but something else becomes the most important thing to them. The ridiculous perversion is the next subpoint. Verse number 15. But Jeshurun, that's another name for Jerusalem, waxed fat and kicked. They are waxing, thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick and are covered with fatness. That should be preached on, Tim. No, I'm just kidding. Different message for a different day. Then he forsook the Lord, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. What is it saying? It's saying God blessed them. It's talking about the imagery of like a cow, but it's saying God's been so good to them. They grew, they got fat, all the blessings, they were just eating them up. They had a great time with it. And then they forgot where their blessings came from. They forsook God. They lightly esteemed the God, the rock of their salvation. The God that saved them, they lightly esteem him. He didn't mean much to them anymore. How much does God mean to you? Hey, if you don't talk to him at all during the day, can I tell you, he doesn't mean very much.
Yeah.
If you don't ever open his word except when you bring it to church, I'm not trying to bust you up, but he don't mean very much to you. You prove it by your actions, right? Hey, guys, it's important how we live. Verse number 17, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that newly came up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. You know what he's saying? You go after these piece of junk gods that will never help you. And by the way, you've heard me say this before, guys. When people go after false gods, when they worship a statue, an image, something like that, you know who they're actually worshiping? Demons, devils. Verse number 17 talks about that. The ridiculous perversion. And guys, I'll skip through the rest of this quickly. But you know what happened because the children of Israel did this? Again, this is a song. Again, imagine singing that song, you know. We have turned away, you know, and all this kind of stuff. We've gone after strange God. We've sacrificed unto devils. Like, I don't know how this was a song, but it was a song, all right? But why? Because he wanted to get it in their memory. He didn't want them to forget these lessons. But when they turned away from God, the repercussions showed up. God's judgment, God's punishment, and the consequences of sin show up. Guys, can I tell you the same thing happens today? This was a long time ago, but the same thing happens today. This was 3,500 years ago, but the exact same thing can happen today. You turn away from God, the repercussions are going to show up. Mm-hmm. And the results, verses 37 and 38, he said, okay, you want to serve false gods? Okay, let's see what they do. Verse number 37, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Verse 38, which did eat of the fat of their sacrifices, drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. What is God doing? He's saying, hey, those things that are more important to me, when you face a crisis, when you face everything falling apart in your life, go cry to them. Go cry to them. Go cry out to your false God. Hey, guys, if your job is more important than God, then go cry out to that when somebody in your family is in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You say, Bill Tom, you're being harsh. No, we need to wake up and realize God needs to be number one all the time in our lives. Not just when everything's good or not just when everything's down.
All the time he should be number one.
Right.
He's saying, hey, you wanted those instead of me? Then go cry to them. He's saying, where are your gods? You know, the little rock that you trusted. I mean, where are they? Your trouble came. Where are they? I thought you cared about them more than me. So where are they? Why don't they rise up? Why don't they help you? Why don't they be your protection? You know why? Because they can't be. Mm-hmm. And they never will be. And that's why in verse 39, he says, now you realize that I am he and there is no God with me. He's saying there's no one else. You have to realize that I'm the only God. Hey guys, don't learn that the hard way. You listening? Don't learn that the hard way, that he's the only God. Don't try out all these other things. And it may not be a statue you bow down to, but it may be money, it may be a girl, it may be friends, it may be acceptance. It may be the party life and having all the wild and crazy fun of this world. Those may be your gods. Can I tell you, those things will fall apart when you need them the most. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Put him at the center of your life, the top spot of your life all the time. And when trouble hits, he'll still be there to help you. The everlasting individual. Listen, you know why it's not a vain thing what we're doing? Because we serve the God who always has been God, and he always will be. He lives forever, he says. Number two, and I'll pick up the pace, because of the efforts that have been invested. Verse number 46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Hey guys, it's not a vain thing what we're doing. Why? Because of the everlasting individual. Hey guys, you coming today hearing about God is not a waste of time. Why? Because he lives forever. He has all power and he can help us even today. And guys, because of the efforts that we've invested. Listen, he's saying it's not a vain thing. It's not a waste. It's not empty. It's not worthless for you to take it seriously. What is he saying? He's saying, I've commanded you all this stuff. Verse 46, the first part. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. He's saying, put your heart into it. Hey, guys, when you hear the preaching of the word of God, do you put your heart into it and say, I believe that. I'm going to do that. I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word, Anthony. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to do something with it. If God told me to give out tracts, I'm going to do it. If God told me to get rid of this filthy music, I'm going to do it today. I'm not going to put it off. Hey, guys, do you take it seriously? Hey, you want your Christian life to start taking off and really go somewhere immediately and take a big jump up? Start taking what God says seriously. Hey, all throughout the Bible, the church of Berea, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. 1 Thessalonians, it talks about Paul's rejoicing over them. He's saying, when you heard the word of God, which we preached unto you, you didn't take it as the word of man. You took it as it is in truth, the word of God. And when they did, their Christian life took off. And guys, we need to believe what it says, as I was referring to earlier. I have esteemed all the words of thy, all thy precepts concerning all things to be true, to be right. And I hate every false way. Believe what God says. Take it seriously. And the things that don't agree with it, reject them. That's the way we need to live. Guys, it's not a vain thing to take it seriously. It's not a vain thing for you to be sitting up and paying attention right now. Even if you're tired, you may be pushing through. It's not a vain thing. It's not a vain thing for me to be up here preaching my lungs out. It's not a vain thing. When you're on a bus route and you're sweating and it's hot and you're doing your best and some of the kids don't care, it's not a vain thing that we're doing. It's not a waste. It's not worthless, guys. It's not empty. Why? Because we serve the God of all time, and because we are putting our efforts and we are investing our efforts in serving him. That's not a waste, young man. Listen, right. You trying to keep a clean mind? That's not a waste. Mm-hmm. You honoring and obeying your parents when it seems like no one else your age does at your public school or in your neighborhood, it's not a vain thing. It's not a waste. You trying to be a pure young man that doesn't defile yourself is not a waste, guys. You've got to believe this, because you know what the devil tells us all the time? You're wasting your time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you live. Yes, it does. It's not a vain thing. Why? Because it's for your life. Hey, guys, your life can turn out in a good direction if you will take God seriously. And then, guys, not only taking it seriously, but teaching it solemnly. He talks about in verse number 46, not only listening and really perking up and putting your heart into listening, but he says, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Hey, guys, who else are you teaching? I know you guys don't have children in here. I get that. But who else are you passing it on to? Are you passing it on to your friends? Are you passing it on maybe to your younger siblings? Who are you passing it on to? Guys, You don't have to wait till you become my age to start passing it on to somebody.
Right.
Listen, if you're working on a bus route, pass these, the things that you've learned, pass them on to somebody else. Guys, it's not vain when you teach it to somebody else. What did Paul say to Timothy? The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men, what? Who shall be able to teach others also. Guys, it's not vain to take it seriously. It's not vain to teach it to others. Deuteronomy 6 talks about, you shall talk of these things and you shall teach them to your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. What is that saying? Everywhere you go, you should be teaching lessons. And it's talking about to your children. But guys, in this stage of your life, who are you passing it on to? Who needs to hear it from you? And the total spectrum, he's saying all the words of this law. Guys, we are responsible to live the whole Bible. You say, that's hard. Yeah, I know. But we need to work at it, all the parts of it, for all our life. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. You'll meditate therein day and night. Why? So that you may observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Hey guys, why do we think about the Bible, process it, try to learn it? Because we want to live it. That's why.
Amen.
It's not so we can win Bible trivia. It's so we can live a good Christian life, okay? It's not a vain thing. Hey guys, you come to church today is not a vain thing. You reading your Bible this week is not a vain thing. You choosing to live holy and to stay away from wickedness is not a vain thing. It's not. Why? Because it's for your life. The everlasting individual, the efforts that we've invested, and then point number three and last, the enormous importance. Verse number 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. The enormous importance. I'll be fast with this, guys, but stick with me for a couple more minutes. Guys, your whole direction in life can be in a positive direction, and you can have a great life. If you will take what God says seriously, and if you will obey it in your life. He says it's not a vain thing because it's your life, and you will prolong your days in the land. This is talking about, obviously, the promised land. But guys, you can have a beneficial direction. Can I teach you something that it's been hammered home to me recently? Hey guys, there are some people in the world, they're just evil, they just want to do wrong. Let's slide them to the side, okay? A lot of the people we deal with, though, those people are off to the side. A lot of people we deal with. Can I tell you? I don't think they're totally evil. I don't think they're wicked people. But you know what determines your course in life? Your choices. Can I tell you some people that are in a bad way today? It's because of the choices they've made. Kevin, I'm no better than them.
Yeah.
I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I'm not smarter than them. I'm not wiser than them. Nothing. But you know what it is? Choices. Choices that you make. And guys, the main choice that you need to make is to get saved. And then kind of in conjunction with that, but also following along after that, you need to take what God says seriously and live according to that. Those are the biggest choices you could ever make in your life. Hey guys, once you pray and get saved, that's not the only time you need to say, you know what, God, I trust what you say, I'm gonna do it. All throughout your life, you need to. Guys, that's what we're talking about. I know some people, I think they're good people. I think they're kind people. I think they have a great potential in their life, but they made some really bad choices, and some of them over and over and over and over again. And it's sad. I think they're good people. I think God can still use them and forgive them. Yes. But you know what? It's all about the choices you make. Hey, guys, 20 years from now, all right? 2043. That's crazy to think about, right? 20 years from now, what's your life going to look like? Look up here.
Good.
You know what it's going to look like? Your choices.
Yeah.
Your choices. Your choices. What are you going to do with what God says, with his truth, the beneficial direction? God can put you in a good direction. He's saying, this is for your life. Young man, I preach hard. You know why? Because it's for your life. Mm-hmm. This is the truth, and it matters. And if you take it to heart and use it, your life will end up in a good place of beneficial direction, and you'll be blessed down here. He talks about they're going to be prolonged in the promised land. They're going to prevail over their enemies. Guys, can I tell you, God will give you a good and prosperous and long life, Proverbs tells us, and you'll prevail over the temptations and over the wickedness around us if you will follow what God says. And then one last thing I want to show you. Verse number 50, it talks about when Moses is going to die, and then it says he's going to be gathered unto his people. Now, guys, hopefully this doesn't fly over most of your heads, but Kevin, as we were talking about, gathered unto their people does not mean they're all buried in the same cemetery.
Because we don't know where Moses is buried, right?
Right.
So how in the world, it talks about Aaron, your brother has died, and he's gathered under his people, and then Moses, you're going to die, and you're going to be gathered under your people. How, that doesn't make sense. Guys, it's not talking about here on earth.
Right.
It's talking about in heaven.
Amen.
Guys, if you're saved, whenever you die, hey, you're going to be gathered unto your people, the Christians, those that belong to God, the other children of God. Hey, guys, can I tell you the enormous importance? We preach it hard because it's not a vain thing. It's for your life. God can have your life end up in a good way. He can bless you down here with prolonged days, prevailing over the lies of Satan. And guys, you'll have a blissful destination. Reunion with those that have gone before, remaining there forever, rejoicing and reaping all the benefits of all the service that you've given to God here on earth. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9 says, hey guys, it's not a vain thing what we're doing. Don't let the devil tell you, man, you don't cuss, but man, it's really not that big a deal. Why don't you just go along with what everybody else does? You don't drink. You don't do the crazy stuff. You don't watch these wicked TikTok videos like everybody else around you, but the devil tries to diminish it, say it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. It's not a vain thing that you're doing. Why? Because it is for your life. Guys, your life is important. Your lives matter to the Lord.
Yeah.
But you know what? The question is not whether they matter to the Lord. It's, do you take your life seriously? The opportunity that God has given to you, do you take it seriously? I hope we do. We got one shot at this thing to serve God. We got one shot at this. Let's live for Him all our days and give Him all that we have. Guys, what we're doing, it's not a waste of time. You know why? Because we serve the God of all time. He's not changing. He's not adapting to the culture. He's not compromising. He's not letting his guard down because things have changed so much in the world. No, God's unaffected by that. He's the same God, and He always will be. Guys, the efforts that you've invested. Guys, when we knock on doors, that's not in vain. When you're living right, it's not in vain. When you're staying away from wickedness, you say, Brother Tom, it's everywhere, and it's hard to resist it. I get it, but it's not in vain. You resisting it. You stay at it. Guys, you stay away from those things, and you keep serving God because of the enormous importance. It's not a vain thing. Why? Because it's for your life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.